Lord, we thank you for this special day. Thank you. Yes, God, we thank you, God, that this is the day that you've made. Lord, that we can laugh in your presence, Lord, that we can enjoy fellowship, that we can break the rules every once in a while. You're good. You're good, Lord. I just ask that you would cause us to continue to come alive in who we are in you, the new creations that we are, the people that can walk in joy instead of in despair, the new people that we are now that can walk in fullness of life instead of brokenness, that we can walk in confidence, not in ourselves, but we're children of God. Lord, let us come alive more even today in the new creations that we are and the new things that we have in you. We turn to your word. God, speak to us. Fill us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, our passage that we've been in for the past 7 weeks is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And we understood from the first time we dove in and we looked at the Greek, that means the new has come. It's already happened, but the way that it's portrayed in the Greek, it means it continues to happen day by day by day. New coming all over the people of God. That's exciting, and we get to live that. Now, we've been exploring these new things that we have in Christ Jesus, and we've learned that in Christ we have new thinking, that we can actually think differently now. We can understand and think God's way now because our minds have been and are being renewed in Christ Jesus. We understand that we have a new spirit. It's Pentecost Sunday. And we're celebrating and being reminded that the Holy Spirit, God Himself, has come and He's filled us and renewed our spirit. We have a new spirit now in Christ Jesus. We have new freedom. Sin doesn't control us any longer. We're children of God, which is our new identity, by the way. No longer sinners, but saints. We also have explored and been reminded that we have a new purpose in Christ Jesus, and we belong to a new family. And I hope you were blown away last week, and I hope you were blown away every single day this past week as you were doing life, that you are a new creation, you belong to a new family, you are an heir and a co-heir with Christ Jesus. You're a child of God. That's amazing. You have a new family. And today we're going to conclude our exploration of new things with the discovery that in Christ we have a new future. That's the title of today's message, New Future. Now, unless we are annihilationists, which is the belief that unbelievers will not experience an eternity of suffering in hell, but instead will just be extinguished after death, which I don't see that in the Word of God. Therefore, we believe that everyone is either going to go to heaven or hell. And hell is a real place. God's word is very clear about that. A real place. It's no joke either. Furthermore, God's word tells us that everyone will experience either an eternity with God or an eternity separated from God. Everyone. And God has made it clear that our final destination, our eternity, is determined by one thing. It's determined by one person, Jesus. Do we know Him? Our whole eternity, where we spend eternity, one thing. Jesus. Do you know Him? Does He know you? Are you His? One thing. Jesus said this, it's recorded in Matthew 25, verse 46. He said, then they, the unrighteous, will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. To eternal life. And I want us to remember something before we move on in this message, that God created us for eternal life. That's why you were created in His image. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You were created for eternal life. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God wants all people to be saved. He created us for eternal life, for eternity with Him. That's why we were created. Because that was God's design and His desire for us, He made a way for us to have eternal life. He didn't create us for this purpose and then make us go figure out how to make it all happen. No, He created us for eternal life, and then He made a way for us to have eternal life. And we all have read and we've memorized John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And let's stop there for a moment. Because there's a lot of people in the world who don't believe that statement right there. For God so loved the world. But that's the reality. For God so loved the world that He did what? That He gave His one and only Son, Jesus. He gave His Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe upon Him would not perish, meaning would not have eternal damnation or eternal separation from God, but instead would have what? Eternal life. God created us for eternal life. He created you for eternal life. You're not just some experiment or some roll of the dice. You were created for eternal life and relationship with Him. And He has made a way for you to have that eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's yours. It's a gift for you. It's God's heart, His love, His design. That's some good news, isn't it? That's the gospel right there. That's the good news of God. God is good. He's good. Eternal life is the new future that we have. But what will this eternal life look like? What is this new future that God has for us? Remember, who are we? We are His children. We are His heirs, His co-heirs. We have a new future. We have a new future of eternal life. What's that going to look like? See, I want to know. So I dive in. I want to look. I want to see. I want to get excited about this. Because if it's coming from God, you know it's good. And I'm ready for some good news. So what does this eternal life look like for the heirs and co-heirs in Christ? Number one, our new future is a physical future. Our new future, this new eternal life, is a physical future living forever on a physical earth in physical bodies. Say what? Right? Huh? What, Pastor? What? Isn't it all about floating around in the clouds with angels and singing and playing harps, you know, not this electrical guitar stuff and all this, but, you know, harps, ring, ring, and just kind of floating and just kind of being in heaven. Isn't that our future? Well, I want to go to God's Word, and I want to see what God says about our future. What's it going to look like? We're going to go to Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1 this week. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Let's look what God says about our new future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We have a new future. And it's exciting. And our new future means a new destination. And our new destination is a new heaven and a new earth. A physical place to dwell forever. A physical place to dwell for eternity. Here's more insight in 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10. Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. That's a good reminder. It gets me excited, actually. Some people go, oh, no. I'm like, yeah, baby, Jesus is coming back. And it's going to just happen. He's coming. Jesus is returning. He's coming back. People get ready. It's going to really happen. And when he does come back, what's going to happen? Well, Peter continues. He says, when he comes, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And as a guy go, oh, that sounds exciting. Because we know that Jesus coming back is a love story. For God so loved the world that he came the first time. He so loved the world that he's coming back to give us eternal life. But it's more than a love story when Jesus is coming back. I mean, it's like an action movie with all kinds of excitement. And these special effects are going to be like real life happening before us. This is big time. This is exciting. The Lord's coming back. And when he comes, the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So Peter says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, it's going to happen. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward. Okay, so sometimes we get stuck. You got to live holy and godly lives. You got to suck it up. You better do everything right. We look at that. But look what he says. You ought to live holy, godly lives, which is a blessing, which is freedom. I mean, there is joy and freedom in living God's way, in experiencing things God's way, right? But he says, so live holy and godly lives as you look forward. In other words, get excited. Be excited. I mean, there's so many things in life we get excited about. This, if anything, is what you should be getting excited about every single day. As you look forward to the day of God and speed, it's coming. That's a whole other message. We won't go there right now, but that's pretty exciting. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. More drama, more action. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Our new future, our new home is the new heaven and the new earth. Now, how does this happen? How does this new home come about? How do we have a new heaven and a new earth? Well, we're going to stick with what God's word says. Let's look at Ephesians. End time stuff in Ephesians. Check it out. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. There's coming a day when the heavenly realm and the earthly realm are going to actually come together here on earth. And it says this, Ephesians 1, 9. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Stop for a moment right there. I want to make sure that we understand this, that God doesn't play games with us, treat us like puppets, and he's trying to mess around with us, keeping secrets from us. God lets us know the mysteries. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know about our future. He's not hiding things from us, and he will let us know in the perfect time and in the perfect way. Okay, so he's going to let us know the mysteries according to his good pleasure, because he likes that we know that he purposed in Christ. Now, to do what? To be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, meaning when Jesus comes back, to bring all things. What's going to happen here? What's the mystery? How's he going to do this? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. How's this new heaven and new earth going to happen? Jesus is going to bring it together. See, the centerpiece of God's eternal purpose is that Jesus is going to return. That Jesus is coming back to the planet, and he's going to establish God's kingdom in its fullness over the new earth. He's going to join together the two realms. He's going to join together the heavenly realm and the earthly realm and bring them together under him and make all things new again. Jesus is coming back. This is his plan. It's exciting. It's epic. It's big. It's going to happen, and I can't wait. We get to be part of it. Pretty crazy, huh? His kids would say, crazy awesome. It's crazy awesome, man. Now, I didn't grow up seeing these things. or really even being taught these things in God's Word. I grew up more of like a, you know, let's float around in the clouds kind of future, right? And I imagine that there are a lot of Christians, in fact, probably most Christians, are dreaming more about spending an eternity in heaven and not on a new earth. And most dream of living an eternal spiritual existence rather than living an eternal physical existence. So we can ask, why? Why? Why is it that we tend toward, I just want the spiritual and not the physical? After all, God created us to live on the earth. God created us in that way, to live on the earth. In the beginning, God created the earth, and He created us to dwell on the earth. We immediately discover in Genesis that God created us, mankind, to be physical beings as well as spiritual beings. It's a both and. We're spiritual, but He also created us to be physical. And then He placed us on a physical earth, which He carefully and perfectly created for us to have dominion over. It's our home, the physical. It's our inheritance, even. The physical is. And when He originally created the heavens and the earth, He said what? It is good. It's good. This physical realm that I created is good. And then He created us spiritually and physically, and He said, it's very good. This is My design. And we know that when God does things, He does them right. He's God. That was God's design. That's His plan for mankind. But what happened? Sin messed it all up. And we know this all too well. We've been experiencing this literally every day of our lives. We've been experiencing the reality that sin has messed up the good, the perfect that God created us to live in. How do we know this? Because we experience sickness. We experience death. We were just at a funeral on Friday. Velvet and I were. It was a great funeral though, man, believer. Woo! It was exciting. God was glorified. Praise God. But there is sickness and death. We understand. We experience that sin has brought into this world pain and sorrow. We understand that sin has messed it up because we got to pick weeds. And then they grow back and you got to pick them again and again and again. And so you have four kids so that you can send them out in the yard and pick the weeds. Sin has messed things up. It's messed it up. The perfect physical realm became broken. But let's remember, it was the perfect physical realm. But it became broken because of sin. Now, God didn't cause the sin. He didn't cause the brokenness. He created everything perfect. Sin messed it all up. Let's make sure we understand it. A lot of people still blaming God when bad things happen. No, no, no. God created us for eternal life. Put us on a perfect earth, where there's no sickness and death and pain and sorrow and hurting. We're going to look. That's where He's taking us back to, though. Okay? All right. Let's keep going here. So because of sin messing everything up, it's probably why most people desire a heavenly eternity rather than an earthly physical eternity. I mean, we get it, right? When the physical that we're experiencing today is broken, we don't necessarily say, I want more of that. I get that. I understand it. But let's remember this. The spiritual realm was also broken because of sin. Wasn't it? When sin entered, we became separated from God. We became broken. We became dead. Spiritual death entered because of sin, just as physical death entered the world because of sin. And this is what we have to understand. Sin separated us spiritually from God as well as physically from Him, but this wasn't God's plan. You see, so God made a way to redeem us fully and completely. God made a way to redeem us spiritually and physically. And we understand this about God. God doesn't go halfway. And God is not limited in His ability to do anything. And so God isn't going, well, I only really got enough in me to just redeem the spiritual side of man, but not the physical side of man. I just don't want to go through the effort of doing both. No. When God does something, He does it completely. He does it wholly. He does it beautifully. And so this is what God has done already. God does not hold back, and the completion of our redemption is coming. That's what we're talking about, our new future. The completion of our redemption is coming. Spiritual redemption and complete physical redemption. It's ours. It's already happened. The victory's already been won. The deal's already been signed. It's a done deal. It's happened. Jesus did it for us on the cross. Complete redemption. Spiritual and physical redemption. Therefore, our new future and our new eternal inheritance that we spoke of last week, our eternal home, is going to be very physical. A very physical eternal home. New bodies on the new earth. We're going to have physical bodies. Resurrected, glorified, perfect bodies. Physical, living on a very physical earth. We're going to eat, we're going to talk, we're going to walk, we're going to know each other. That's exciting. That's very exciting. Jesus is going to bring His dominion across the earth. Our new future is a resurrected and glorified physical future. That's our future. Now, let's move on. So our new future is a physical future, meaning that we don't escape the physical realm, but instead God redeems the physical realm. So do we understand that? Eternity isn't about escaping the physical realm. It's about God fully redeeming, restoring the physical realm for us, making all things new and right again. Number two, our new future is with God. So our new future is physical. Our new future is with God. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, that God walked with man in the cool of day? It's found in Genesis 3:8. God walked with man in the cool of day. And we're all going to be longing for Jesus to come back and walk with us and make the day cool when it's like July 15th or something. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's going to happen. God walked with man. Walked. Like physically walked with man in the cool of the day. You see, God's purpose has always been to live together with people, with His children. To live with us. On the earth, face to face with us. That's always been His plan. And that's how He lived it out before sin entered the picture. Walking with mankind, doing life with us. It's a huge concept. It's a glorious, exciting concept. God wants to live in the natural physical realm with the fullness of the Spirit being manifest in us. This is God's plan. This is God's heart. This is His desire. The ultimate reality that God desires to accomplish through salvation is this. Face to face with us. Nothing separating us anymore. That's His plan. Let's go back to Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." That's pretty clear. Very, very clear. Jesus is coming back and will again be walking with us. We will be walking with Him. It will happen. He's coming back. We'll be walking with Him in the cool of the day in physical, resurrected, glorified bodies. We will be dwelling with God on the new physical earth forever. This is our new future because God made us for this purpose. This is why He created us, for us to enjoy Him fully and for Him to fully enjoy us. We were created. Now, as I think about this, I was thinking about the kind of relationship that we sometimes feel we have right now with God. Now, I love the relationship I have with the Lord. I love that I can spend time in His presence, that I can actually feel and sense His presence, that I can hear from Him in so many different ways. He can speak to me. He can lead me, guide me, direct me, get me excited, heal me, touch my physical body and make it come alive again. My back, a week and a half ago, man, I thought I was out again for months. I was putting on socks and bam, it got tweaked again. Something happened. I thought, nuh-uh, not again. I feel really good right now. God heals us. He moves. He touches us. He's real. He's active in our lives right now. But it still kind of feels like somewhat of a long-distance relationship. You know, if you're having a long-distance relationship with somebody, you still have a heart-to-heart with them. You still get to speak with one another. You still get to influence each other's lives and encourage one another and build each other up. It's still a vibrant relationship, but there's something about having that person right there around the table with you, where you can embrace them and hug them and kiss them and talk with them and play cards with them. I don't know, whatever you want to do. There's something about that. God's plan is to take it back to that, to where we're literally, physically, face to face with Him, walking with Him, doing life with Him, being embraced by Him, looking upon His glory. That's God's design. That's our new future that we have to look forward to. You know, it's one thing to have friends on Facebook, you know, Facebook friends. I got so many Facebook friends. I kind of use it as a way to reach out to people. I got like 1,100 Facebook friends. There is no way that many people really like me. And I don't know how you maintain that kind of, you know, that many relationships. So, but there's something to it. You can still affect one another and encourage one another even that way. But the kind of relationship that we're going to be having with the Lord isn't some kind of social media relationship. I mean, it's the real deal. You know what I'm saying? The real deal. Our new future is with God. It's with Him. The third point is this. Our new future is perfect. It's going to be heaven on earth, folks. Literally, heaven coming down to earth is going to be our new future. It's going to be perfect in every way. Revelation 21:4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I'm ready for that. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more of that stuff. I mean, perfect. All that stuff is brokenness. All that stuff is a result of sin. All of that is going away. It will no longer exist. Our new future is perfect. Heaven on earth. Many wonder what the new earth is going to be like. Okay, so what's it going to be like, this perfect new earth? I want a picture of it. I want to know. I want to encourage you to look to the Garden of Eden. Now remember, when God created things, He did it perfectly. And there was no sin, and there was no pain, there was no death, there was no want, none of that kind of stuff. It was perfect. It was so perfect that He walked on that earth with people. The Holy Righteous One could step down and be in that place physically. That's what we're going back to. That's what Jesus is restoring. The new heaven and the new earth. All things made new. Everything made perfect. Everything made right. We're going back to Eden, to the new earth. That's how God intended it to be. Let's keep going. Revelation 21:5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Most things new? No. God says, I am making everything new. All things, everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they are true. He said to me, it is done. Let's say that. It is done. Amen. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And so he who overcomes will inherit all of this. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God and he will be my son. Church, we have a new future in Christ Jesus. A new future. God has promised this new future to all who overcome. And how do we overcome? It says in Revelation 12:11 that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We don't overcome by the sweat of our brow, the good works that we can try to amass, although we've been saved to do good things. We don't overcome because we're just really good people. And when you pile up the good versus the bad in our life, the good outweighs the bad. No, that's not why we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. All of this is ours. Eternal life is ours. This inheritance, this eternal inheritance, this new future is ours. We overcome. Why? Because of Jesus. We overcome by His work and His work alone on the cross. That's how we overcome. That's how we walk into this eternal life, by Jesus, because of His amazing grace. This is our new future. God designed us to live with Him forever. And it's pretty exciting that it's in physical bodies on a new earth. Pretty wild, too. He created us to glorify Him, to enjoy Him forever in this way. Not just in some theological way or some kind of theoretical way or some kind of floating around way. Although that may be our existence for a period of time if we pass before He comes back. But ultimately, He designed us to enjoy Him in this way that He's talking about right here in His Word, where He will come dwell with us on a new perfect earth. That's exciting. Why? Why is He doing it this way? Because He loves us. This is His plan because He loves us. Because He wants to spend eternity with you. Because He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. That's why this is our new future. We got to remember that He's come after us. He's come and He's rescued us and redeemed us. He's given us new life. He's given us new things and this new future because He loves us. He's our Abba Father. He's a good daddy. And this is what He has planned for you. And it's done. It's finished. It's been accomplished. In Christ, this is your new future. And God wants you to look forward to it. I want to ask for the communion to begin to be served. Again, it was just last night, and I was praying about today, and I just felt the Lord prompting us to take communion together. Because in communion, we find an amazing connection between what Christ has already done and what He's about to do. And I want to read this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 23. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." You can just hold the elements, by the way, and we'll take them all together in just a little while. And then in verse 25, it's recorded, in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." Now check this out. Check this out. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Until He comes. And so as you're holding those elements and receiving those elements, we're going to play some music. We're going to play this song. And I want you during this time, as this is playing, to be pressing into God. I want you to be remembering what He's done for you. And I want you to be contemplating and getting excited about what He has in store for you in your new future. I want us to look back and I want us to look forward. And I want us to allow God to get us excited about being His children. To come alive in the new things and the new people that we are in Christ Jesus. So spend some time with the Lord even right now.
I'm looking for a city. None made by human hands. I'm longing for the garden. Where God once walked with man, for eternity. written on my heart. Oh, I'm longing for the day when we will never be apart.